Well, it's certainly a topic around the dinner tables and the barbecues pretty much all day, every day, really, on the East Coast. How high can East Coast house prices go? More experts are describing prices now as dangerously high. Economist and former Liberal leader John Hewson and the head of the corporate regulator, Greg Medcraft, both saying recently Australia is in the grip of a housing bubble. One of the groups most commonly blamed for pushing up home prices is overseas buyers, notably those from mainland China. Our Monday finance commentator Michael Yander joined us now. Hello, Michael.
Morning, Fran.
Michael, this concern about foreign investors in the Australian property market has prompted federal and state governments to ramp up charges on overseas buyers. We've seen that over the last few years. But new research suggests, and I think lived experience, it's not making much of a dent.
No, and we've seen significant increases in taxes and charges. Foreign buyers now pay about 9% in taxes and charges in New South Wales, about 13% in Victoria. In Victoria, that's 7% higher than what a local buyer would pay. On the side benefit of these additional foreign buyer taxes has been that we now have timely and reliable data on just how many foreign buyers there are in Australia's two biggest property markets, Sydney and Melbourne. And Credit Suisse, the big investment bank, FOI'd that tax data. They estimate that non-residents are buying around a quarter of newly built dwellings in New South Wales.
A quarter?
A quarter, and 16% in Victoria.
That's a lot higher than we'd been told or thought.
It does tally quite well with NAB's survey of property market participants, which they've been doing quarterly, but that's only a survey, whereas this is tax data. Now, interestingly, Credit Suisse found that more than three quarters of foreign property buyers were Chinese citizens, and there's no confusion in this data with Australian residents of Chinese background. This is permanent residents are not counted as foreign buyers because they do not pay these extra stamp duties in New South Wales and Victoria. And despite the new and increased taxes, though, and a big crackdown on taking money out of China, more than $50,000, Credit Suisse found a rise in foreign buying towards the end of last year. It doubled in New South Wales in November and December to almost $500 million per month. That's around 500 purchases, because they average about $1 million each, and Victoria rose 50%. So some interesting figures there.
Yeah, indeed. The other big source of housing demand lately has been local property investors. Now all the big four banks have raised their mortgage rates for those investors. What's the impact of that likely to be?
Yeah, so we saw the Commonwealth and ANZ raise investor loan rates on Friday, both again in that range of about a quarter of a percentage point increase, a bit more for interest-only loans. And all this is designed to head off tougher regulatory action, perhaps a 5% speed limit on investor lending growth instead of the 10% limit that's currently enforced, or what's called an increased risk weighting for investor mortgages. The impact of that, Brian Johnson, a bank analyst, said, would be that it could cause the banks to have to raise as much as $5 billion in extra capital, and that would mean lower returns for shareholders.
Okay. One leading economist is warning homeowners of more rate rises to come, but he thinks that that might have a silver lining.
Yeah, there's a dual benefit for the banks in this and also a side benefit
for
the economy. Yeah.
Okay.
So not only do the banks avoid potentially tougher and costly regulation if they take action themselves, but they can, of course, bump up their profit margins. Paul Dales from Capital Economics has found a pretty close positive relationship between long-term interest rates and our bank's net interest income. You see, interest rates on long-term assets like 10-year government bonds are starting to rise because of the US Fed, but the Reserve Bank's holding the local cash rate steady, and that keeps short-term interest rates lower. Now, given mortgages are very long-term assets and deposits are quite short-term, banks can get away with lifting their mortgage rates, citing the higher long-term funding costs, while keeping their deposit rates low. And the trick here is that Aussie banks have shifted back towards more deposits, which are now about 60% of their funding, up from about 40% prior to the GFC. The benefit for the Australian economy out of all of this, even though we're paying higher mortgage rates, is that we need lower official interest rates to keep the Australian dollar down, but the last thing we need is lower mortgage rates pumping up the housing market. So this could be a dream scenario for the RBA. Mortgage rates rising, especially for investors, but they can keep official rates steady and the dollar lower.
It's 5 to 7. Michael Yander is our Monday business commentator, business and finance commentator. Michael, if rising mortgage rates do see some investors stay out of the property market, another place they may look to invest is in the share market. And there's some interesting research out today on what type of shares Australians of different age groups are buying.
Yeah, the National Australia Bank's delved into the trading records of its broking arm to find out what shares Australians are buying. And the interesting finding in all of this is a big growth in overseas investing, particularly US shares and especially tech stocks. That investing has been up about between 50 and 90%, depending on the age group, over the past year. NAB's trades head of investor behaviour, Gemma Dale, told me that there is a common trend for people to buy companies whose brands they know, but that knowledge does vary a lot with the age group.
The brands they're familiar with are dramatically different. So we see baby boomers going for Apple and Facebook, absolutely, but Wells Fargo for Lloyds, and they love Berkshire Hathaway because they're very familiar with the Warren Buffett story. You look at a Gen Y and they're going after Nvidia, they're going after Activision Blizzard, they're going after advanced micro devices, the technology that they use every day. You don't see a lot of 65-year-olds gaming. You do see a few 25-year-olds and they've grown up with it. So they're going after brands that support the things that they use.
That's NAB Trades' Gemma Dale. I guess investors' theory is that if they're buying the product, other people probably are as well.
And Michael, we're about to have an intense discussion in our federal parliament this week about cuts to company tax rates. Corporate taxes have also been dominating the political and the share market agenda in the US, along with healthcare. What happened on Friday?
Well, last week was Wall Street's worst for the year so far, down 1.4%. There wasn't much of a move on Friday, but earlier in the week on Tuesday, we had that big 1.2% fall. Now, it is still up almost 10% since Trump's election. But on Friday, of course, Republicans pulled their own bill to overhaul the US healthcare system and its current Obamacare insurance system. They didn't have the numbers to get it through, and that's despite Republican majorities, of course, in both houses of the Congress. Mm. This was seen as both a negative and a positive. The negative is it highlights the gap between Donald Trump's ambitious plans, as we heard from Matt, about radical changes and the reality of what he can actually do. And that raises question marks over the corporate tax cuts and how quickly they can be passed. But on the positive side of the ledger, some hope that the setback on healthcare will actually cause Donald Trump to shift his focus to tax cuts and bank deregulation much more quickly. And certainly Trump said, we will probably start going very, very strong for big cut tax cuts and tax reform, that will be next. And yeah, that's a bigger game for Wall Street than the healthcare.
Yeah, and he'll be wanting a win too. Given all that action in the US, how is the day ahead shaping up for the local markets?
Look, given that Friday was pretty quiet, the ASX futures are up just 1 point at 5,748. The Australian dollar's at 76.1 US cents at the moment, down a bit on Friday. Iron ore prices fell steeply last week, down 7% for the week, the worst week in China since December for iron ore prices. And Fran, we've got the ABC senior business correspondent Peter Ryan with Business Council President Tony Shepherd on AM talking about his new report, which warns the budget deficit is likely to persist unless further action is taken to correct it urgently.
Okay. Michael, thank you very much. Michael Yander, the ABC's senior digital business reporter. And you can read all the news and analysis from the ABC's national business team, abc.net.au/news/business.